The two told him that if he didn't want to bother with spending time buying gifts, he could simply go to any of the houses of prostitution, but they assured him that those women were not as young or nearly as pretty as the ones who approached them on the streets. They admitted, though, that they went to prostitutes sometimes when they didn't feel like wasting time being sociable for no more than a simple coupling. When he was spotted with a collar, Richard drew women the same as Perry and Isaac did. Richard was beginning to see in a new light what Sister Verna meant about him soon finding another pair of pretty legs. The other two men thought Richard was mad to turn down all the offers. Sometimes Richard wondered if they might not be right. Richard asked Perry and Isaac if they weren't afraid of a woman's father cracking their skulls. They laughed and said that fathers sometimes brought their daughters to them. Richard threw his arms up and asked if they weren't concerned about getting some woman they didn't even know pregnant. They explained that if a woman got herself pregnant, the palace would provide for her and the child, even her whole family. When Richard had asked Pasha what was behind such a bizarre convention, she folded her arms across her breasts and presented her back to him while she explained that men had uncontrollable urges, and those urges would be a distraction to learning to use their han, so the sisters encouraged the men to satisfy their needs. That was why she didn't go to the city with him at night. She was restricted from interfering with his needs. She had turned back to him and begged him to come to her with his needs, saying she would see to it that he had no desire to go to other women, or if he did go to the city, to at least allow her to be one of the women he slept with. She told him that she could satisfy him better than any other woman, and offered to prove it. Richard was dumbfounded by such talk, to say nothing of the behavior. He told Pasha that he only went to the city to see the sight. Having grown up in the woods, he had never roamed around in a city before. He told her that where he came from, it wasn't right to treat women in such a way. He promised that if he was ever overcome with need, he would come to her first. She was so happy to hear this that she didn't mind when he reminded her that he wasn't ready yet. She had no idea that there were times when he felt so lonely that he was sorely tempted to give in to her. She was unquestionably alluring, and it was sometimes difficult for him to make himself keep her at arm's length. Richard had Pasha show him everything she could of the palace. He had her show him some of the city and take him on a tour of the docks to see the big boats. She said they were called ships because they went to sea. Richard had never seen anything that large afloat. She told him that they brought trade from cities of the old world farther down the coast. Pasha went with him to the sea, and they sat for hours watching the waves or explored the tide pools. Richard was astounded to learn that the sea went up and down with tides all by itself. She assured him that it was not the magic of the palace, but did such a thing everywhere. Richard was spellbound by the ocean. Pasha was content to simply sit with him, but Richard couldn't afford to sit and watch the ocean too often. He had things to do. Pasha wasn't permitted to go with him to the city in the evening, in case he chose to be with a woman. He had to constantly reassure her that that was not why he went out at night. Since it was the truth that he wasn't sleeping with any of the women, he had no difficulty being sincere and convincing her. He did not tell her the truth, however, about what he really was doing. Richard decided that as long as the palace wanted to provide him with money, he was going to allow them to finance their own undoing. He spent the palace's money wherever it would help him. He became a regular at the taverns and inns the palace guards frequented. Whenever he was around, they never paid for a drink. Richard made an effort to learn all their names. At night, he would write down the name of any new guard he had met, and everything he could discover about him or any of the other guards. He paid the most attention to those who guarded the prelate's compound, and any other place he discovered he was forbidden access. He stopped by their posts whenever he was at the palace, and inquired idly about their lives, their girlfriends, their wives, their parents, their children, their food, their problems. Richard bought Kevin special expensive chocolates that his girlfriend favored, but which Kevin could ill afford on his wages. The chocolates earned Kevin favors from his girlfriend. Kevin always brightened at Richard's approach, even when he looked tired from the favors. Richard loaned money to any guard who asked, knowing it would never be repaid. When a few made excuses as to why they didn't have the money to pay back, Richard would not hear their reasons, telling them that he understood and that he would feel bad if they were to worry about it. Two of the toughest, who guarded a restricted area on the west side of the palace, would let him buy their ale, but wouldn't warm to him. Richard took it as a challenge. he finally struck on the idea of hiring them the services of 4 prostitutes, 2 each, just to get their attention. They wanted to know why. Richard told them how the palace provided him with the money, and he didn't see why only he should enjoy it. He told them that since they had to stand up all day guarding the palace, he thought it only fair for the palace to pay to put a lady under them when they lay down. The offer was too much for them to resist. They were soon giving him surreptitious winks when he passed. Once they became amenable to his offers, he saw to it that they had reason to give him the winks on a more frequent basis. As Richard knew they would, the 2 guards began bragging about their romps. When some of the other men found out that Richard had been willing to provide those 2 with the services of ladies, they pointed out to Richard that it wasn't fair to the others that they should be excluded. Richard conceded that he saw the logic of their argument. He soon discovered that he didn't have the time to handle individual requests, so he struck on an idea. He found a mistress of a brothel open to an inventive business arrangement. He put the establishment on retainer, open only to his friends. He calculated that in this manner he was actually saving the palace money over a piecemeal arrangement. He wanted the men to remember to whom they owed their gratitude, so required they give the mistress the code phrase, "A friend of Richard Cipher," before they would be granted admittance. There were no other restrictions. Richard gave the mistress a healthy raise in the retainer when she complained to him that business was steadier than she had anticipated. Richard soothed his conscience about the morals of what he was doing by reminding himself that he couldn't change what people chose to do, and it might save him from having to kill the guards when the time came. In that light, it made sense. One day, when Pasha was with him and a man gave him a wink, she asked why. He told her it was because he was with the most attractive woman at the palace. She smiled for an hour. Richard accustomed the guards to seeing him in the black cape of the Mriswith. He kept Pasha happy when he was with her by frequently wearing the red coat she liked best. Sometimes he wore the others, the black, the dark blue, the brown, or the green. Pasha most liked taking him to the city, but she went for hikes in the surrounding countryside to try to be a part of his interest. Richard learned that the guards were soldiers in the Imperial Order, on special detachment to the palace. The Imperial Order ruled all of the Old World, but seemed to have a non-intervention policy with the Palace of the Prophets. They never interfered with any sister or any man wearing a Radahan. The guards were stationed at the palace to handle all the people who came to Halsband Island. Every day, people poured over the bridges to come to the palace. Sisters saw petitioners of every want. Some requested charity, some intervention in disputes, and some wished to be guided in the Creator's wisdom. Others came to worship in the courtyards scattered throughout the island. They viewed the place where Sisters of the Light lived as hallowed. Richard learned that the city of Tanamura, vast though it was merely an outpost of the Old World, at the fringe of the Empire. Apparently, the Emperor of the Imperial Order had an arrangement with the palace to provide guards, but not law. Richard suspected that the guards were the Emperor's eyes in an area of his empire where he was denied dominion. Richard wondered what the Emperor received in return for this arrangement. Richard also learned that in at least one of the restricted areas, the sisters had a special guest who never came out, but he was unable to discover any more. Richard began testing the guards' loyalty to him with simple, innocuous requests. He told Kevin that he wanted a special rose for Pasha that grew only in the prelate's compound. Richard made a point of parading Pasha, wearing the yellow rose, past Kevin. Kevin smiled with pride. At other restricted areas, Richard used the flower excuse or said that he wanted to get a view of the sea from atop a particular wall. He made sure to remain in sight at all times to reassure the guards and dull their sense of caution. It wasn't long before he had all the guards accustomed to his forays. After a time, he was coming and going almost as he pleased. He was their friend, a trusted and valuable friend. Since he was collecting so many rare flowers from the restricted areas, he used them to an advantage. He presented them to the sisters who practiced with him. They were puzzled as to why he would give them flowers from restricted areas. He explained that he considered the sisters who trained him to be special, and he therefore didn't want them to have just any flowers, but those that were special and artfully obtained. Besides making them blush, this explanation also disarmed an otherwise inevitable suspicion if he frequented restricted areas. Though As near as Richard could tell, there were close to 200 sisters. Only 6 worked with him. Sisters Tovey and Cecilia were older, and as kind as doting grandmothers. Tovey always brought cookies or some other treat to their sessions. Cecilia insisted on combing his hair back off his forehead with her fingers and planting a kiss there before she left. Both blushed furiously when he gave them rare flowers. Richard had difficulty thinking of either as potential enemies. The first time Sister Marissa showed up at his door, Richard almost swallowed his tongue. Her dark hair and the way she filled her red dress made him stumble over his words like a fool. Sister Nikki, who never wore any color but black, had the same effect on him. When Sister Nikki locked her blue eyes on his, he had trouble remembering how to breathe. Sisters Marissa and Nikki were older than Pasha, his age, or maybe at most a couple of years older. They carried themselves with confidence and slow grace. Though Marissa was dark and Nikki blonde, they seemed to be cut from the same rare cloth. The power of their han radiated from each, making them almost seem to glow. Richard sometimes thought he could almost hear the air crackle around them. Neither walked, both glided, like swans, serene and cool. Yet he was sure either could smelt iron ore with their placid glances. Neither ever grinned. They bestowed small, subdued smiles, and only while looking him in the eye. Richard could feel his heart thumping faster when they did. Once, he offered Sister Nikki one of his rare flowers from a restricted area. His explanation of where it had come from and the story of why he was giving it to her flew right out of his head. She took the white rose gingerly between a finger and thumb, as if it might soil her hand, and while her gaze held his, she gave him one of her subdued smiles and said in an indifferent tone, "Why, thank you, Richard."